Well, there was recently a major victory in the church-state front. We're going to talk about that right now in this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest for this segment is Jeremy Dice with First Liberty Institute. Jeremy, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, tell us about the Eric Walsh case, and first set it up for us. Most people probably have never even heard of Eric Walsh, but it's an important case.
Yeah, Dr. Walsh was a leader in the field of public health and had applied for a job with the state of Georgia, got that job, and very soon thereafter, they asked him for copies of some sermons. You see, Dr. Walsh was also a lay minister, and they asked for some of those copies of his sermons. He gave them, trying to be a good employee, after he'd received this job. And they reviewed those sermons, and a few days later, they fired Dr. Walsh for whatever they found objectionable in those sermons. And so we have been litigating this case for several years now under the premise that no one should be fired from their job simply for something that they said in a sermon. And I'm delighted to be able to tell you that we now have a clear, resounding victory for religious freedom. The state of Georgia has agreed to settle this case to the tune of $225,000 to make sure Dr. Walsh is made whole. We're pleased that it has resolved this way. We knew the law was on our side, so we're pleased that the state of Georgia has agreed to settle this case and clear Dr. Walsh's good name.
Huh. Now, was it sermons that he provided that caused him the trouble, or was it sermons that he had preached that they found out about? And what was the content in the sermons that were supposedly such a problem?
Well, we don't know what they found a problem with. He's preached on everything from Genesis to Revelation and everything in between, especially how to care for the sick, the poor, and the needy. And to answer the first part of the question, it's kind of both. He was asked initially to provide some sermons, and so he provided a few. And then we have the documents from inside of the Department of Public Health there in Georgia that indicates that they went out and found a whole bunch more. And then not only did they find them, we have supervisors delegating to associates within the Department of Public Health an assignment, using their words, to go and watch those sermons, presumably on state computers during state work hours, to evaluate whether or not that is something that that would be commensurate with working at the Department of Public Health. Apparently it wasn't, because they fired him. And not only did they fire him, when they called to fire him, they forgot to hang up the phone. And so we actually have the recording of them laughing about how they were firing Dr. Walsh, which is just simply demoralizing to the poor man.
Wow. Okay, now, let's be honest. There's an 800-pound gorilla here in this discussion. Did he say anything against homosexuality or that homosexuality was a sin?
Well, Dr. Walsh, like I said, preached on a lot of things. One of the things he preached on was talking about how important marriage between a man and a woman is. And that may have been one of the things that they found objectionable. I don't know. The bottom line is this, that they fired him for something he said in those sermons.
Wow.
And I should remind you also, I'm sure you remember this, Jerry, but back in October of last year, during the middle of this litigation, the state of Georgia sends a request that Dr. Walsh provide all of his sermon notes and transcripts. So they were making sure they didn't miss anything. And even in the middle of litigation, they were requiring to somehow ransack the pastor's study here and find out more about things that he preached about. It's no wonder, I think, that soon after that, after we pushed back against that, that they wanted to get to the mediation room as quickly as possible.
Wow. You know, that's really a scary thing for the state to say, or, you know, try and control what is said from the pulpit, especially in terms of, you know, hey, some things within the Bible are politically incorrect, but they're still true. And so,
yeah,
you know, going back to that example of marriage, okay, God teaches that marriage is between one man and one woman. And also he teaches that sex outside of that union, including premarital sex, is wrong. Adultery is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. Incest is wrong. And if you say these things, that's politically incorrect, and you could lose a public service job today because of this?
Well, I hope the rest of the states are watching this settlement here, that if they choose to do that, if they choose to terminate someone from their employment for something that they believe, some religious belief that they hold, they could be losing to the tune of six figures right now, and every state budget is strapped, so I don't think that's a very good idea. No one should be fired for simply expressing their religious beliefs, and especially when those religious beliefs are expressed outside of the work hours.
Yeah.
It's just remarkable to me that this would be the case. We're pleased now that the state of Georgia has agreed to settle this case and acknowledge the right of their employees to express their religious beliefs.
Plus, you'd think, even just in terms of how this was done, you said that he was hired first, and then they asked for his sermons and then reviewed him, and then they, then we got to fire you in light of what was on some of the sermons. What were they expecting? You know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I mean, really?
I don't know. People have asked me throughout this litigation, what was it that he said? And my answer has always been the same. It's truthful. I don't know. But I usually ask the follow-up question to say, is there something that someone believes about Scripture or about their religious beliefs that they should be fired from their job for?
Yeah, good.
I mean, Dr. Walsh was a leader in the field of public health. He'd worked for two different presidential administrations. He'd started an HIV/AIDS dental clinic, one of the first public health clinics of its kind in the state of California. He was eminently qualified, not only with a medical degree, but also with a doctorate in public health. If you're around him for 10 minutes, he may end up even scolding you for eating too much candy because of how it contributes to the health concerns throughout the country. This man lives and breathes public health.
Wow.
And so he was clearly far and away qualified. In fact, now that I think about it, one of the people who interviewed him during that process told the commissioner of the Department of Public Health, hey, we need to find more money in our budget to pay this guy because we're not going to find a more qualified candidate coming around anytime soon.
Mm.
And yet, despite all of that, it was his religious beliefs that got him terminated. Thankfully, today, his name has been cleared. Dr. Walsh is a leader in the field of public health, and the Department of Public Health in Georgia has said, I'm sorry, to the tune of $225,000.
Wow. Now, you remember a couple of years ago there was a story in Houston where there was, the lesbian mayor was actually subpoenaing, through the courts, demanding the sermons of some of the prominent ministers in her area that spoke out against, I think it was transgender bathrooms, something like that. But you remember that?
Yeah, and that was just a rogue mayor in a city in the state of Texas. This was the entire state of Georgia that was demanding that Dr. Walsh turn over his sermons.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they weren't able to get away with that. The people of Georgia held their leaders accountable, I think, on that point. And now the state of Georgia has had to say, I'm sorry, 225,000 different times.
Wow. I like the way you put that. You know, I remember there was a story we were covering for D. James Kennedy Ministries where the Alliance Defending Freedom, they actually went over to Sweden to defend a minister. And what had actually happened was the minister, Åke Green, was preaching about the Bible and homosexuality or something like that. And the tape of what he said was then brought over to the police department. They listened to it and they said, oh yes, a hate crime has been committed, and they charged the man with a hate crime. And so the ADF, like the First Liberty Institute, you guys are out there fighting for our religious liberties, they went over to Europe to defend the guy, and thankfully they won. But the idea that the pulpit is something to be reviewed by the state, it just seems so pre-American, anti-American, frankly.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that these kinds of things happen in this country, and yet they do. And, it's an important reminder. Just recently here, the ACLU, one of the chief opponents of religious liberty in this country,
yes,
they raised something like $20 million in a weekend. It's important for people who believe in the importance of religious liberty to go to firstliberty.org and invest in this organization so that we can continue to provide free legal assistance to men like Dr. Eric Walsh and others who should never be fired for something they've said in their pulpit.
Yeah, boy, that's so true. Okay, so in this case, now there was there's a similar type of story out of Georgia, and you'd think, by the way, Georgia being part of the Bible Belt would be a little bit more convenient or kind to the Christian side of things, but anyway, there was a fire chief. I know this is not a First Liberty case, but it's still the overall issue is religious liberty. A book that he had written on his own. I think he even self-published it. And it said that, marriage is between a man and a woman and so forth. And so he got fired. This was not some book that he you know, forced on his firemen at his fire department or whatever. This is a book that he had written on his own time. And but when the, you know, commissioners found out about it, or the city folk, they said, oh, you know, we can't have a bigot, you know, running our fire department. And they fired him. And this thing seems to be, you know, going on more and more. So I'm glad for this freedom. I mean, this victory with Eric Walsh.
You know, Dr. Walsh didn't go looking for a fight. The fight came to him. And he had a choice when that fight came to him. He could have just simply rolled over and just gone back and retreated. And no one would have thought anything differently of him. That was a hard thing to go through, to be fired from your job. No matter how you're fired, it's always hard to get through that experience.
Yeah.
But he was able to get connected with us. And he was willing to stand up and say, you know what, this is hard enough for me. I cannot allow other people to go through this same thing again. And so if maybe we can plow the ground here for someone else and protect others, that's what we want to do. And God bless Dr. Walsh for doing that.
Amen.
He has stood for the last 2 years under a constant battle trying to clear his good name. You know, at one point he couldn't even find a job in the States. He went overseas to be a medical missionary.
Wow.
He's now back here as a medical doctor, but he still isn't in the field of public health, his first love. We hope that this admission by the state of Georgia, that they have, that their employees are right to express their religious beliefs, and the settlement of $225,000 for failing to abide by the law, we hope that'll send a message across the country. Not only should you not fire people for expressing their religious beliefs, but Dr. Walsh was right to stand up for what he believed in.
At First Liberty, are you seeing cases like this where basically somebody is doing their job, they're doing a great job, but because of something they've said, you know, which is basically biblical in nature, and even though they said it in a Christian context, like in their own little church or their own Bible study or something like that, they said it, and therefore it's not politically correct, and therefore, boom, they'll be fired from the job. Do you have other cases like this, or is this aberrational?
No, we're seeing them and we're winning them. You know, Bob Eshleman a couple years ago was an editor, a newspaper editor in a small town in Iowa, and he wrote something in defense of sacred scripture on his own personal blog during his personal time, and his employer let him go, and we were able to, I can't tell you the exact amount for what we settled for on there, that's confidential, but I can tell you that he's very, very happy at the resolution of that case.
Wait a second. All he did was he defended that scripture is the word of God?
Yeah, there's a longer story that people can go to firstliberty.org/Eshleman to read more about, but that's essentially it. You know, we just filed a case back in December, as a matter of fact, in Houston, Texas, with a sweet young lady who's been working for a health agency as a health educator. She's Catholic, and the agency wanted her to be teaching. She teaches about different health matters, you know, how to avoid heart attacks, nutrition, you know, that kind of stuff. She was also teaching young mothers and pregnant women. One of the things that they required her to teach as a part of that course, more generally, was on birth control, on contraceptives. And she said, hold on a second, that's against my Catholic beliefs, I can't do that. Well, the company, to their credit, accommodated her for about a year and a half. And then all of a sudden new management came in, and they took away that accommodation. And they said, you are either going to teach this course or you're going to lose your job. Which do you want to do? Well, Alexia Palma, our client, she couldn't compromise her convictions. She asked them to accommodate. There was a volunteer ready and willing to cover the less than 2% of her job that needed to be accommodated, and they refused to even negotiate an accommodation with her. And so they fired Alexia. We expect we'll be successful in that case as well, because no one should be fired from their job for believing and holding to a religious belief while at work.
Boy, that is so true. And you know, when you think about America, I mean, the everything that it really was built on was this sacred right of conscience and protecting the sacred right of conscience.
That's right. Yeah, no, we've believed that since the beginning of our country. In fact, it was the late Justice Scalia who, in one of his last opinions, as a matter of fact, said, and I have to paraphrase because I can't remember it exactly right, but he said, look, Title VII, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the part of the law that protects religious employees at work,
yeah,
it doesn't merely give them preference. It doesn't mean that it doesn't require them to be accommodated. It actually gives them preference while at work. Mm. That's an important thing for employers to remember. So I hope folks will go to firstliberty.org and read more about these cases. Subscribe to our podcast, the First Liberty Briefing, where you'll hear more cases like this so that you know what your religious liberty rights are too.
Excellent. Jeremy Dice, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
And congratulations on the victory. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.